You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
All right, it is the 18th of June 2019. The day has come to an end. And what does that mean? Here I am recapping the events of the world for you. I'll tell you what, it is simply impossible for all of you to sit through like 7, 8, 10 different newspapers and different news websites and all these op-ed columns. So you simply don't have time because you have, you know, jobs to do and lives to live, which is precisely the only reason that you have to come to me. And at the end of the day, you're caught up with the world. Every newspaper in the country that matters and every news item that you should be in the know of, if only to be thought of as an intelligent young person going about their lives. That was a bit ageist. Intelligent person. You don't have to be young. You can be any age to get caught up with the world. It is the 18th of June. I'm specifically excited because it's Paul McCartney's birthday. The only living Beatle that we have. Well, I keep forgetting Ringo. Sorry, Ringo. Happy birthday, Paul McCartney. But it is the 18th of June. Let's get on with the matter at hand, which is stories of the day. My name is Rakesh Sharma, and you're listening to Money Control.
Editor's pick of the day.
Well, before I start anything, in news that has just arrived, 3 civilians are critical and many others injured after a grenade that terrorists threw at a police station in Jammu and Kashmir's Pulwama exploded outside on a busy road this evening. 10 people have been rushed to a hospital. Police said the area has been surrounded for search operations. This, according to a report on NDTV. Today's attack comes a day after an army vehicle was targeted with an improvised explosive device, that is IED, in the district, in which 2 soldiers died and 16 others were injured. An armored vehicle of the 44 Rashtriya Rifles was completely damaged in the IED blast near Arihal village in Pulwama. Last week, Pakistan had informed the Indian High Commission in Islamabad about a possible attack in Pulwama. The information was shared with the United States as well. In February, as we know, a suicide bomber of the Pakistan-based terror group Jaish-e-Mohammed had targeted a convoy of the CRPF in Pulwama, killing 40 soldiers. Back to business now. Well, the consortium of 26 bankers led by the State Bank of India today took Jet Airways to the NCLT to recover their dues of 8,500 crores. The tribunal will hear the matter on Wednesday. Jet Airways started over 25 years ago by airline ticketing agent turned entrepreneur turned billionaire Naresh Goyal. Stopped flying on the 17th of April after it ran out of cash and the unpaid lessors took away most of its 100-odd operational airlines. Yesterday, I was just flying out of Bombay to Bangalore, and there was Indigo, there was SpiceJet, there was all these different aircraft sitting there, and I did feel a bit sad that Jet was not there. But all said and done, it was a very good airline, and it's very sad the things that have happened to the airline. Not just to me, the consumer, but think of the thousands of employees of Jet. The lenders, you know, they've been trying to sell the airline as a going concern since the past 5 months. But as you know very well, because I've told you tens of times, that has not happened. Apart from the banks, the airline owes money to a lot of other people as well. 10,000 crore rupees to vendors, primarily aircraft lessors, and 3,000 crore rupees to its 23,000 employees, who, by the way, have not been paid since March. But such was their spirit and loyalty to Jet that they banded together and wanted to come up with a plan to have a revival of Jet themselves, but that also fell through. The airline has been having negative net worth for a long time and has run a loss of over 13,000 crore rupees in just the past few years. So it has over 36,500 crore rupees of dues and, being a services company, negligible assets to recover. So on the airplane asset side, Jet had only 16 on its book and they are valued around 5,000 crore rupees, according to some media reports. And the rest of its 123 fleet were on leaves and most of them have been deregistered or taken away by the foreign lessors already. So all in all, it's a sad story for Jet. And right now that story is finding some resolution at the NCLT and the hearings will begin tomorrow. And how those things go, I'll of course let you know. Well, Business Standard is running with this piece as a web exclusive. According to the Bank of America Merrill Lynch, investor confidence has hit the lowest since the global financial crisis of 2007-2008, with fund managers trimming their allocation to equities. A total of 230 panelists with $645 billion in assets under management participated in this particular survey between the 7th and the 13th of June. So basically, very recent. Allocation to equity by global fund managers saw the second largest drop ever in June. The largest happened in August 2011. The pessimism, according to the survey findings, as Business Standard reports it, was driven by concerns over the trade war and concerns over recession, monetary policy impotence and low strike prices for policy cuts. Trade war, according to the Bank of America findings, is the top tail risk, with 56% of FMS investors agreeing that this is indeed a problem. As we all know, the two-day US Fed meeting is underway starting today, with many experts predicting a status quo amid this ongoing trade war. So it's not just financial markets in America, but financial markets across the world that are waiting to hear the outcome of this Fed meeting. India Inc.'s advanced tax figures have grown exponentially by 171% specifically during the first quarter of 2019-2020, prompting tax authorities to say that the economy may be back on track after witnessing lackluster growth in earlier quarters. But is this the only parameter that we use to decide if the economy is back on track? The simple answer is no, but the complicated answer is one of them. In overall direct tax collection, Mumbai has registered 133% growth. It has collected 17,174 crore rupees of advance taxes, as opposed to about 7,300 crore rupees in the same period last year. Corporate tax collections stood at 14,873 crores against 5,477 crore rupees a year ago. Individuals paid 2,301 crore rupees, up 22.4% over 1,879 crore rupees in quarter one of last year. This first installment of advance tax for the current fiscal year ended on the 15th of June. Tarun Sharma, writing for Money Control, has reported that the SEBI, that is the Securities and Exchange Board of India, is in the final stages of investigation in the WhatsApp leak case, with the market regulator identifying three officials of a Mumbai-based broking firm for their alleged involvement. Financial results of 12 companies, including Dr. Reddy's, Cipla, HDFC Bank, Tata Steel, Wipro and Bajaj Finance, all heavyweights, were said to have been leaked and circulated. In November 2017, SEBI initiated a probe after a media report surfaced with respect to circulation of unpublished price-sensitive information in various private WhatsApp groups about a few companies before their official announcements. SEBI had also conducted a search and seizure operation at several of these offices of broking firms and seized mobile phones and laptops. And now it appears that the resolution, or at least the final stages of investigation, are upon us. Well, in a bid to show that the government is very no-nonsense about people who are corrupt, 15 more officials of the tax department, all of whom have corruption allegations against them, were made to retire compulsorily by the centre today as part of its renewed tough stance on criminal misconduct. This, as you will recall, comes exactly after a week of something similar happening when 12 officials of the department were given the pink slip just last week. A statement from the government named the officials, all of them from the Central Board of Indirect Taxes, detailing the accusations that they face. 11 of them have CBI against them. Two others have cases filed by the Revenue Department. Most of the officials named are senior, with the rank of commissioners or above. The list is headed by Principal Commissioner Anoop Srivastava, who has two cases against him filed by the CBI. The charges, of course, involve criminal conspiracy and bribery. Besides, he's also accused of harassment, extortion, non-vacation of government flats, and disproportionate assets. Commissioner Atul Dixit is also facing CBI cases of fraud and disproportionate assets against him. And it is not completely necessary for me to take these names, but you know what? Name and shame. Apart from Anoop Srivastava and Atul Dixit, the names of the 13 other officers who are charged of corruption and have been asked to retire are Sansar Chand, Sriharsha, Vinay Brij Singh, Ashok Mahida, Virendrakar Agrawal, Amresh Jain, Nalin Kumar, S.S. Babana, S.S. Beast, Vinod Kumar Sanga, Raju Shekhar, Ashok Kumar Aswal, and Mohammad Altaf. Well, in yet another development in Anil Ambani's rather development-filled life, Chinese lenders, including China Development Bank, Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, and Exim Bank of China, have demanded at least $2.1 billion from Anil Ambani's Reliance Communications, which slid into bankruptcy earlier this year. State-owned China Development Bank, with loans worth 9,860 crore rupees, that's about $1.4 billion, was the biggest creditor to the indebted telecom company, according to a filing made by the Indian company to stock exchanges. Exim Bank has sought a payment of 3,360 crores and Industrial and Commercial Bank of China claimed 1,554 crores, according to the filing. Well, flash sale alert, Vistara is offering flight tickets from 1,299 rupees onwards in a flash sale. This 48-hour sale is applicable for travel between the 3rd of July and 26th of September. Go Air is also offering flight tickets from 899 rupees in its sale. The 6-day booking period is valid for travel between the 1st of July and the 30th of September. Go Air is offering fares starting as low as 1,769 rupees, starting 18th June till the 23rd of June. In some funding news, Razorpay has got $75 million funding led by Ribbit Capital. This is a Series C funding round led by financial technology-focused investment firm Ribbit Capital, along with venture capital firm Sequoia Capital, according to a report by the Economic Times. Existing investors, global investment firm Tiger Global and Y Combinator's Continuity Fund also participated in this funding round. The company's valuation now is pegged at $450 million. The Bangalore-based firm, Razorpay, that is, plans to use these proceeds to strengthen its two new business lines, that is, neo-banking platform Razorpay X and its lending arm, Razorpay Credit. After Azim Premji's exit, it's bye-bye time for two more board members in the next month. Wipro's lead independent director, Narayanan Vaghul, and chairman of the board's nomination and remuneration panel, Ashok Ganguly, will also retire next month, said one Wipro executive familiar with the development, marking an end to their more than two-decade-long stint with India's fourth-largest IT services company. Both Vaghul and Ganguly were reappointed for a 3-year term in 2016, which ends on the 31st of July, which is also when Azim Premji will step down from his role as executive chairman and managing director after having led Wipro for more than half a century. We spoke about how a lot of infrastructure companies are trying to get rid of some of their assets in order to make cash available for them to pay it back to the NBFC crisis when we spoke about the NBFC crisis yesterday on our podcast. So in relation to that, SL Infra Projects, which is a part of Subhash Chandra-led debt-laden SL Group, has agreed to sell about 310 megawatts of solar energy assets to the Adani Group at a valuation of about 1,800 to 2,000 crore rupees, said some people aware of the development, to Mint. This would be the third sale for SL Infra, which aims to monetize these assets to pay off creditors. Finally, the RBI will examine concerns around its strict data localization rules that require storing of customer data exclusively in India without creating mirror sites overseas, the government said Tuesday. The RBI in April last year asked payment firms to ensure that their data are stored exclusively on local servers, setting a tight 6-month deadline for compliance. The deadline was said to have been missed by some foreign firms, including giants like Visa and MasterCard. Commerce and Industry Minister Piyush Goyal on Monday held extensive consultations with the tech industry and e-commerce companies, a statement by his ministry said. All the companies who were represented in this meeting put forth their concerns related to RBI data storage requirements and processing-related guidelines issued by the RBI. The Deputy Governor of RBI, BP Kanungo, assured the industry representatives that the RBI will look into this. In a quick roundup of business headlines doing the rounds of the country, Car Dekho has launched an insurance Dekho insurance platform, and Airtel has started 4G services in Lakshadweep. Government to verify exporters' claims before bogus IGST refund claims, and IRS officers sacked over alleged corruption. They accused the revenue secretary of personal vendetta. Jet Airways shares have plummeted 41% as the company landed in NCLT. And finally, SEBI has imposed a 12 lakh rupee fine on NDTV for disclosure lapses. All right, the big news that is doing the rounds across the world now is Facebook's new cryptocurrency and digital wallet. It has launched a digital wallet called Calibra, and the cryptocurrency is called Libra. About this, I've already told you a few days ago. It'll be officially launched in 2020. But one of the big problems, at least as far as India is concerned, is that India is busy proposing a draft bill which could put cryptocurrency users in jail for 10 years. The draft bill says anybody who mines, generates, holds, sells, transfers, disposes, issues, or deals in cryptocurrencies can end up in jail. But then again, India is one of Facebook's biggest markets. So how is this going to be dealt with? We will find out soon enough. Facebook has just released its white paper explaining Libra and its testnet for working out the kinks of this blockchain system before a public launch in 2020. So what will happen? You will basically buy or cash out your Libra online or at a local exchange point like grocery stores and then spend it using interoperable third-party wallets or Facebook's own Calibra wallet. Now, it has already had a lot of interest, as I've spoken to you about earlier. It has big names like Uber, PayPal, Visa, and MasterCard on board to fund its cryptocurrency venture with about $10 million each. How they'll reconcile with the regulations here in India is something to watch out for. Well, in the ongoing trade war between the US and China and the specific involvement of Huawei in the middle of all of this, what has come to fore now is that Huawei stands to lose about $30 billion in revenue. This has been a harder than expected hit from this US ban, the firm's founder, CEO Ren Zhengfei, has said. Ren's assessment that the ban will hit revenue by $30 billion, the first time Huawei has quantified the impact of the US action, comes as a huge surprise after weeks of defiant comments from officials who maintained that Huawei was technologically self-sufficient. As we know, the United States has put Huawei on an export blacklist, citing national security issues, barring US suppliers from selling to the world's largest telecommunications equipment maker and the number two maker of smartphones without special approval. Huawei had not expected that the US's determination to crack the firm would be so strong and so pervasive, said Ren on Monday. He said, "We did not expect they'd attack us on so many aspects. We cannot get components, cannot participate in many global organizations, cannot work closely with universities, cannot use anything with US components, and cannot even set up connection with networks that use such components," he said. Well, Huawei is now paying the price for what could be the reality for a lot of other companies should this trade war go on. But in the case of Huawei, obviously they used national security as a front. But was this all about the trade war, considering Huawei is one of the biggest names out of China? That is the question. And should we adopt a similar stance in India in the upcoming Indo-US trade war? Is this going to be a similar case with a lot of Indian companies? Well, there's a lot to think about there. A quick look now at the financial markets in the United States. Wall Street is set to extend Monday's modest gains as stock futures are pointing higher ahead of today's open. The Dow and S&P 500 have now erased more than 70% of their May losses during June, with the Nasdaq regaining about 60% of its May decline. The Fed policymakers have begun their two-day June meeting today, or will in some time at any rate, with an interest rate decision and policy statement set for tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, followed by Chairman Jay Powell's news conference. The market believes a rate cut is coming, but only gives it about 27% chance this week. Odds shoot up to over 80% for the July meeting and increase as the year goes on. This according to a report on CNBC. Well, I spoke to you about Facebook. Facebook shares have been up about 2% in the pre-market after the announcement of Libra. The Libra currency will not be run by Facebook, but rather by a non-profit association supported by a range of companies and organizations. Though it does have a plan to profit from it with a new subsidiary called Calibra, which is building a digital wallet, like I said, as if Facebook was going to build anything where it did not see any profit. What else is happening in the world? Donald Trump has kicked off his re-election campaign. I know, even you're surprised. Hasn't he been campaigning all this while? Ever since he took office, he has been campaigning, apparently from the time he announced his candidacy back about 4 years ago, about which there was an excellent piece on the Washington Post. Do read it when he comes down that elevator. What all happened just before that happened is a good piece. Now, ever since that time, he has participated in over 550 campaign events. So basically, he's never stopped campaigning. And officially, it's going to kick off today in Orlando. His campaign has already fired several pollsters yesterday after they came out with unflattering numbers. They said Joe Biden is leading in several swing states where he had won against Hillary Clinton. So he's obviously said, you know what? I don't believe those numbers. Any numbers that are not favorable to Donald Trump, he doesn't believe them, because that's fake news, because that's the kind of reality, that's the kind of twilight zone we are living in these days. In other news from Trump world, Trump has said millions of undocumented migrants would soon be deported. The US president tweeted just last night that Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that is ICE, would next week begin to remove millions of people from the country. He also said that Guatemala would sign an agreement that would require asylum seekers to claim refuge there. So that's happening. The US is, by the way, sending 1,000 troops to the Middle East, citing hostile behavior from Iran. We've spoken about this yesterday. Iran has said, you know what, we're going to break the rules of the deal and start enriching uranium like never before, which obviously is bad for the world. And clearly, there is a very hawkish John Bolton sitting on the United States side who has always been itching for a war with Iran. This is not good. And now the US is sending 1,000 troops. The deployment is, of course, in addition to the 1,500 troop increase Greece announced last month following earlier tanker bombings. But now, so this, I'm just trying to be cynical. I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm just going to sound a bit cynical. He's not winning the election as far as these polls are concerned. Do you know what wins elections? Wars. That's the kind of dystopia that we're living in right now. Just across the pond, there is another twilight zone. UK Prime Minister hopefuls are now facing a second round of votes. Six Conservatives are now competing to become the next party leader and therefore the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Candidates need to secure a minimum of 33 votes to remain in the race today, with the list whittled down to two by Friday. And after that, party members will select the winner by July 22nd. Now, this is obviously just an election that is happening among the MPs of the Conservative Party. When two candidates are there in the end, the voting for British Idol is going to be from all the signed up members of the Conservative Party, which, let me tell you, are generally over 55 years of age, of a certain kind of income, of a certain kind of background, which means posh. And well, there, these posh people are going to choose the next Prime Minister of Britain. The whole situation is a bit of a crapshoot, honestly. In news from Asia, the two-day trip of Xi Jinping to North Korea will be starting on Thursday, and it'll be the first visit by a Chinese president to the country in 14 years. Pyongyang's nuclear weapons program is likely to feature in these discussions. Just in relation to China, Hong Kong's leader Carrie Lam has apologized for the controversial extradition bill. She has said she had much to learn from the huge protests sparked by a bill that would send suspects to mainland China. Lam has suspended the bill but not withdrawn it, prompting calls for her resignation. As usual now, a quick roundup of all things you need to know in tech. We've already spoken about Facebook's cryptocurrency. Anticipation of the announcement had caused the stock to rise as much as 4.2%, and just a little bit earlier it was at 2%. Elon Musk, meanwhile, has deleted a tweet attacking Tesla co-founder Martin Eberhard. He had said Tesla is alive in spite of Eberhard, but he seeks credit constantly and fools give it to him. Now that tweet is gone. Apple news now. It sounds like Apple may address one of the biggest drawbacks to its iPhone XR next year. Apple's iPhone XR successor in 2020 might get an OLED screen, bringing it up to speed with Apple's other flagship iPhones, as well as those from Samsung and Google. Speaking of Samsung, it tweeted that it's possible for your smart TV to get a virus, just like a computer. Samsung deleted the tweet, which contained a link to a video which shows Samsung TV owners how to check for viruses on their TVs. So, will it happen that way? We don't know yet. Speaking of viruses, the virus of Silicon Valley, if you will, Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes reportedly got married in secret to hotel heir Billy Evans. Holmes has been in a relationship with Billy Evans, who is a 27-year-old man, heir to a hotel chain, and the two have been living in San Francisco. Now is as good a time as any to read Bad Blood or to listen to The Dropout, which is an excellent podcast on Elizabeth Holmes, or indeed see the Alex Gibney documentary of her on HBO. If you don't want all of these realistic things, there are two, I suppose, cinematic things coming your way. Kate McKinnon of Saturday Night Live is going to be playing Elizabeth Holmes in a television show, and Jennifer Lawrence is slated to play Elizabeth Holmes in a film. So there's a lot of Elizabeth Holmes content coming your way. Well, that I think is pretty much all you need to know about what happened in the world today. Before I let you go, let's take a quick look at what happened on Dalal Street. The BSE Sensex rose 85 points to 39,046, while the Nifty 50 closed 19 points higher at 11,691. That's it. Before I let you go, some recommendations. I've been reading Factfulness by Hans Rosling. I find it an extremely interesting book, so perhaps you could give it a swirl as well. And I'll be listening to a lot of Paul McCartney today and the Beatles. So that is something you can do as well. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, who's asking you to write in. You can always leave us a comment each day on whatever platform you're listening to the podcasts on, or you can always write in to us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. And now I'm going to say bye. Have a good evening and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been a Money Control presentation.